Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it yet again today. I'm so thankful to God for a wonderful day to be able to worship and bless His name. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. I'm giving a shout out to all of the countries and all of the states and cities where people are. I know there are a lot of college students that I've heard are viewing us wherever you are, military. I give God praise for your willingness to just tune in and join with us. And I pray that the word and the ministry today will bless you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be ministering today about the secrets to doing the impossible. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of stories where people did the impossible. And God wants to do the same thing through your life. I believe the Lord Jesus saved you to give glory to Himself through your life. And what better way to do that than to use you to do the impossible? What are those secrets to see God doing that in your life? Matthew 14, we're going to talk about that today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Father, we honor you. We worship you. We humbly come before you to give you praise. We will exalt your name. We will give you the glory. We come today, Father, praising you for the doors you've already opened, the blessings you've already provided. We're giving you the glory for the healings you've already done and the resources you've already given and the prayers you've already just responded to. Thank you, Almighty God. And we're praying today. It is our desire that we pray for one another and we pray for our brothers and sisters watching by the internet. And as we intercede, God, for those around the world, that your perfect will be done in our lives, that we would do and be and become everything you want us to become. We pray that your perfect will would manifest itself. The doors you want us to go through, open them, God. We pray that the doors you don't want us to go through, you'll close them. We pray, Father, that your perfect healing power would just touch every sick body and whatever people stand in the need of. It is our prayer in Jesus' name that you'd work it out in the name of the Lord. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We acknowledge our transgressions. We're praying for the unsaved, that you save the unsaved. Forgive them of their sins. Bring them to a place of repentance. We pray that you meet every need that is needed. People's needs, you meet it, God. We pray that you would rebuke the enemy. Put a hedge around this place. Bind every demon from hell, every distracting spirit, every discouraging spirit. Rebuke it, God. Cancel out the plot of the devil in the lives of your people. Anoint this word, change lives, and let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified. Now we thank you ahead of time for what we know you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we believe it's already done. Thank you that the angels have already been dispatched. We agree with your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. All right, real quick, before you sit down, grab your Bibles and turn it to Matthew chapter 14. Read it, grab it real quick, and I'm going to read again that which Minister Tate has already read. Beginning at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Somebody say contrary winds. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I want to talk about the secrets to do the impossible. Somebody say, secrets to doing the impossible. Tell your neighbor. Tell them on the other side, there's some secrets for you to learn to do the impossible. You can be seated. I am persuaded that God wants to use you and I to do supernatural things in troubling circumstances. I know everybody's troubled today. We're in the midst of a troubled culture. When Donald Trump won the elections, people got scared, protesting, wanting to not let him become the president. As if somehow, when he got elected, that somehow God has stopped being God. Let's be clear. Donald Trump didn't get elected and all of a sudden God dropped the mic and walked off the throne. No. He's still God. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, he's still God. He is not the first person to be elected president with questionable morals. There have been previous presidents with questionable morals, matter of fact, who had not only questionable morals, but this demonstrated behavior that was not morally good, but God was still God. That's an important thing. I want you to get that point, because I don't want us to be afraid, troubled, disappointed, angry, whatever, about what has happened. Matter of fact, here's what I believe. I believe that when a community is troubled, it is an opportunity for the church to do something spectacular. Thank all 17 of y'all. I think it's an opportunity for God to show himself mighty and strong in the midst of a situation where people think the spectacular cannot happen. Some of you today are living in troubled circumstances, troubled days, troubled situations in your life. And I want you to know, here's my assignment today. My assignment is to tell you that God wants to do the impossible in your life. He wants to step up in the midst of troubling circumstances, drama, pain, and do something spectacular, supernatural, impossible through you. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to do something impossible through you. Let's try it again. Y'all a little bit slow right there, a little weak. Try it again. God wants to do something impossible through you. Tell him with attitude. Roll your head around. Now, for some of y'all, it's hard for you to believe that. It's hard for you to believe that God could do anything impossible through you. But that's what my assignment, that's what I'm all about today. This is what this is about today. That God wants to take you, as jacked up as you are, as messed up as you are, as weak as you are, as unready as you are, he wants to show himself strong through using you as his instrument. That's what he wants to do. And that's, in fact, what he does through Peter. Peter does something impossible, something he's not supposed to be able to do. He walks on water. Humans don't walk on water. But he gets out of this boat he's in and he actually walks on the water. He does the impossible, and God wants to do the impossible through you. And I'm encouraged by that. This is the thing that woke up speaking to me. This is the thing that God has been talking to me about, that he wants to use you. So the question is, how did he do it? How do you walk on water? What's the secret for you to do the impossible? I got three points for you. Here's number one. So how do you walk on water? Here's number one. In verse 28, Well, let me set the stage again. Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000 people in the earlier parts of this chapter with just five loaves and two fish. He just fed 5,000 people. He sends the disciple to go on the other side of the sea. They get in the ship to head to the other side. On their way, they encounter a storm. And while they're in the middle of the storm, they see a figure walking out to them on the water. They don't know what it is. They think it's a ghost, and they're afraid. You've often heard me say, when men cry out for fear, you know they're really scared. When all of the men cry out for fear. And that's what they did. The scripture says they cried out for fear. And they say in verse 26, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, verse 27, Jesus spoke to them. Oh, I like that. I'm going to come back to that fact. Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when he had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water. What did he do that gave him the capacity and the ability to walk on water? Here's the first thing. This is a very important point. It's simple, but it's important. It says right here in verse number 28, when Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He asked for a word. Now listen to this carefully, because this is how some of you get your lives messed up. He asked Jesus for a word. What most people mess up doing, how they mess up, is they take steps and they make decisions without asking God for direction. They take a job that they didn't ask God for or about. They get married to somebody that they never even talked to God about. They're too busy having sex to ask God about whether they should get married. Y'all shouldn't have came to this service. I feel free. I feel like I'm back in the flow. I've been out of the pulpit for a couple of weeks. Y'all shouldn't have came to this service. I might be here till 6 o'clock tonight, I'm telling you. You buy houses, you take jobs, you quit jobs, you start businesses, and you never ask God. This is an important deal. Because God does not want you operating independently on your own. He wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to talk to him and discuss this with him before you make a move. I'm tired of people coming to me and say they quit their job and now they need money to pay their rent. Don't be coming to me. Talk to the person who told you to quit your job. That's what you need to do. Because God's not going to tell you to do something that's going to put you in a dramatic situation where you have to depend on somebody else. That's not God. Y'all see how the claps are getting lower and lower and lower? He asked God for a word. And when people come to me and say they want to do something, they say, I'm thinking about this. I ask them this one simple, very important question. Have you prayed about it? People are making decisions that are horrid and they're blaming it on God. Did God tell you to leave your husband? Did God tell you to put your wife out? They answered him not a word. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You got to talk to God. And the problem is, it's not that God's not talking. God is talking. The problem is, we don't want to hear what he's saying. Preach on, Pastor Jenkins. They ain't going to say nothing. God didn't tell you to take your tithe money and send it to your cousin down in South Carolina. That's not God. But yet, we make these choices and we make these decisions and we take these actions and we never talk to God. Matter of fact, let me tell you something here. There's something I call progressive versus preventive actions. Progressive versus preventive. Somebody say progressive versus preventive. Our walk with God and our communication with God should not be preventive. In other words, we shouldn't tell God, unless you stop me, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But yet that's what a whole lot of people do. They say to God, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And if you don't want me to do this, then make this happen or stop this. That's not how you deal with God. Our walk with God is progressive, which means this. I'm not progressing forward until you tell me to move. Woo! That's serious. Write that down. Tweet that. Snapchat that. Periscope that. Instagram now, I got to learn these things, but it's an important deal of understanding how God operates and how he flows. Don't put God in a position, you don't have the authority, the right, the power to put God in a position where you don't go ahead and make a decision unless he stops you. It's got to be progressive. God, I'm not moving forward. And I like Peter's stand here, and I know people have beat up Peter through this and threw him down and gave him a name because he started sinking and he took his eyes off Jesus and all of that. And I think we should celebrate Peter because at least he understood the importance of asking God for direction. Now, whatever decisions you have to make in life right now, I bet you everybody here got some major decisions that you got to make in life. And my assignment is to tell you that before you just run off and make the decision, before you say to God, I'm going to go ahead and do this, let you stop me. What you need to do is ask God to give me clarity of direction. Speak to me. Give me your direction and let me know. And I won't move forward, God, till you tell me. Because here's the deal. God is still talking. Look at your neighbor and say, God is still talking. He's still communicating. But do you know how to hear from him? Do you know what he's saying? He asked God for a word. And I'm challenging you today, before you make any move, before you quit the job, before you marry that joker, before you do whatever you want to do, ask God for a word. Ask him for clear direction. He will give it to you. And then once he gives it to you, he asked for it. Here's number 2, verse 29. He accepted the word. God said to him, come. Verse 29, so he said, come. Jesus said to Peter, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, Peter accepted the word. That is an important point. Jesus clearly spoke to him, gave him the direction, come, he said. And Peter accepted it. Here's the next thing that people have a challenge with. God speaks. Now, why do I say he accepted it? Here's why this is important. Because Peter accepted something that didn't make logical sense. Man, I wish y'all could hear what I'm saying here to do. He got out of the boat. He climbed down. He didn't get thrown off. He didn't slip and fall. He climbed down. They didn't throw him off the boat. He climbed down. He accepted what Jesus said, that he would be able to walk on the water. Now, for many of you, God will speak to you, but you won't accept it. He will tell you that he's going to use you in a certain way, but you don't believe it's possible. See, here's what I learned about God. We serve a God who specializes in using people who know that they're not qualified. No, you're not qualified. You don't got the education. You don't have the experience. No, you're not the one. You don't measure up to what they're looking for. But God says he loves to choose people that other people think are unchoosable and who cannot possibly do it. God loves to take people that everybody else counsels out, everybody else doesn't want, and does something spectacular with their lives. And that's what I love about God, because he wants to choose you. Because y'all know I pastor a church full of rejects. Y'all know we got a church full of rejects. Everybody here supposed to say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you're a reject. You know you jacked up. Tell them, you know you're a jacked up choker. Toe up from the flow up. You messed up. You ain't all that. I know some of y'all think you're a bag of chips, all of that in the bag. But you ain't even the bag. You're not even the chips in the bag. You're not all that you think you are. You got where you are by the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Amen. But what I know about God is that he wants to take you beyond your skill realm. He wants to take you beyond your educational level. He wants to take you beyond what you think you can do. He wants to take you into a place that's so far beyond what you think you can do. I wish I had an amen right here. That when you look at what's been accomplished in your life, you will have to conclude it had to be God, because I sure enough couldn't have done that by myself. You got to accept the word. And that's why I'm grateful God called me to be the pastor the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. Yeah, I don't have an education. I'm not qualified. I don't have a doctorate degree. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I don't have any of those things. I can't sing. I can't hoop. I can't do all of that, but he anointed me to be the pastor. Somebody said he anointed me to be the pastor. And I is the pastor. I is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here. They said I wouldn't last. They said I wouldn't do much with it. But look at me now, baby. I'm here. And I did it without singing, and I did it without hoping, and I did it by the grace and the power of a mighty God who empowered me to do what it is that only he can do through me. I didn't do it, but his power in my life is what did it. And he wants to do the same thing in you. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to do the same thing in you. There's an assignment that God has for you. There's a call. There's an anointing. There's a gifting. There's a place God wants to take you in life. There's things he wants to do in your life. Jesus wants to take you to places and do things in your life that you thought you would never accomplish or achieve in life. This is the message I'm trying to drill into your heads over and over again. You keep hearing me preach this over and over again. It's the thing that God keeps wanting me to tell you, because you're not getting it. You're not understanding it. Some of you are still walking in fear. Some of you are still operating in anxiety, and that you're not educated and you can't do it and you're not this and you're not that. No, you're not that. But God chooses to lose the least of these people. He wants to pick people and choose people who know that they don't have it, and know that they need him, and know that without him they are absolutely nothing. I
I'm trying to do the best I can. Did y'all hear she say, you preaching, Pastor? Yes, I am. I'm trying. He asked for a word. Before you get married, you better ask God. Before you quit that job, you better ask God. He asked God, and then he accepted what God said. Lord, bid me to come. He said, Lord, command me to come. Jesus said, come. He accepted it. Now, for some of you in this building today, there's some things that God wants you to accept that he's calling you to that you don't want to do. Jonah didn't want to get out of the boat. Isn't that interesting? Jonah didn't want to get out of the boat. Peter wanted to get out of the boat. Neither one of them wanted to do. Well, Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Peter did. I celebrate him. He did and asked to do something that the other 11 jokers didn't have the courage to ask. Verse 29 says, basically, Peter accepted that word. And you got to accept. See, when God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, isn't logical, other people are going to call you names and say, talk about you. You have to accept it by faith. Somebody say, by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants to use people and anoint people who are willing to operate in the realm of faith. Who are willing to believe that when God speaks something, that they're willing to do it. And what I celebrate about Peter is he got out of the boat in the middle of a troubling situation, in the middle of the storm. It was a storm. It was rocking the ship from side to side. The winds were blowing, the sea, the waves were raging up against the ship. And he got out of the boat. Some of you, God's going to call you to do something spectacular, something crazy, something unusual in the midst of a difficult situation. Anybody can do it when the sun is shining and the sea is calm. But can you do it? Can you do it when you ain't got the money to pay your bills? Can you do it when everything is gone haywire? You got to have faith. Somebody say, you got to have faith. He had faith. And he climbed down out of the boat. Here's point three. He acted. Y'all see my A's? I got A's. I alliterated these with A's. He asked, accepted, acted. Go ahead, Pastor. They ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to encourage myself. It takes accepting and acting on it. Y'all, a lot of y'all got stuff that God has told you to do, and you ain't taking no steps on it. He acted on it. Verse 29, he came down out of the boat. He climbed. He had to put his leg over and go down out of the boat. He had to put his feet in the water. God has called some of you to do some things, and you haven't even got, you still in the chambers of the boat. You still down in the cabin. You ain't even gone over to the side of the ship. God told you, get out the boat, and you still in the cafeteria. When God tells you to do something, you have to seize the moment. Y'all excuse me for a second. You got to act when God tells you to do it. You got to go right then. You can't wait and go when you want to go. You have to seize the moment. And Peter was smart enough, wise enough, faith, full of faith to get down out of the boat. He acted. He did something about it. He acted upon it and he got down out of the boat. And I'm celebrating the fact that he walked on the water. He acted. In the midst of the waves and the wind, he came down. It's a lot more difficult to walk in the middle of the storm than when the sun is shining, but he did it. He didn't walk on no stones. There was no rocks underneath the water he stepped on. There were no strings or ropes holding him to the side of the boat. There was no trick camera, no magical illusions. He actually walked on the water. He was doing the supernatural. He was doing that which he did not have the ability to do in his own skills. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. God wants to do stuff in your life, through your life, take you to places that you're not qualified to be. And he wants to anoint and use you. Who am I talking to today? I'm sure that it's one or two of y'all that I'm speaking to that the others are saying, like, what is he talking about? Okay, but maybe it's not for you today, but hold on to it. You're going to need this word at some point in your future. Tell your neighbor, you're going to need this word at some point in your future. Tell them. I know why y'all can't get excited. I know, because I thought y'all would jump up and shout, yes, I'm going to walk on the water. But y'all don't have no excitement because y'all see the rest of the story that he starts sinking. So the question is, what caused him to sink? What did he do that we should not do so we can walk on the water? What did he do that caused him not to continue to walk? Let me tell you what they are. There are two things. Can I tell you what they are? Okay, I'm going to tell you what they are. Here's the first thing, verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, there's the first thing. He was focusing on the wrong things. He was focusing on the wind. He said, when the scripture says, but when he saw the wind. How many of y'all have ever seen the wind? Any of y'all ever seen the wind? Y'all ain't seen the wind. You've seen the impact of the wind. You've seen the effects of the wind, but you ain't never seen the wind. He saw something that wasn't even possible for him to see. Just like some of you, when the devil starts talking to you and making you afraid, you start seeing things that ain't really happening. You start seeing the business fail, but it ain't even failed yet because you ain't even started it yet. You're just getting going. You start seeing things that didn't happen. He starts seeing the wind. He got into a place where he focused on something he shouldn't have focused on. I think it's one thing. See, here's the scripture says he was walking on the water to go to Jesus. He saw Jesus. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, fine. But he saw the wind. The problem is not that he saw the wind. He focused on the wind. I believe God will put you in troubling situations. Troubling situations. And it's not that he wants you to ignore those troubling situations. Here's what bothers me about some people. They are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. You so spiritual that you can't see that they about to put you out your house because you ain't paid the rent. God wants you to see your situation so when he brings you out of it, you can tell the testimony of exactly what he brought you out of. It's not that he saw the wind, it's that he focused on the wind. And he allowed the wind to speak to him louder than what Jesus said to him. I can't get no help right here. Do you think Jesus would call you into a situation that would bring you into a point of death or destruction or hurt and pain? He would not do that. He's taking you through a journey so when you come out on the other side, you'll have a testimony to tell somebody what you came out of. He focused on the wrong things. Somebody tell your neighbor, stop focusing on the wrong things. Please tell them. And then he became afraid. Not only did he focus on the wrong thing, he let fear speak to him. Verse 30 says as well, he was afraid. The wind was boisterous. He saw that and he became afraid. And he started to sink. He became afraid, and that fear is what caused him to drink. I try to tell y'all all the time, fear is not from God. Faith and fear cannot operate in the same realm. You can't, when fear starts rising, faith is diminishing. You got to decide what's going to rule your life. Is it going to be faith or fear? Are you going to have trust and belief that God brought you through and will bring you through? How many of you know God has already brought you through enough in your past that you ought to have enough confidence to know that he's not going to abandon me now? He's not going to take me through all of that hell I went through back then only to bring me to this point now and leave me. Matter of fact, he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. So he became afraid, and that's what caused him to sink. His fear. He started getting afraid. And the Bible teaches us, don't doubt God. You got to believe God. You got to trust God. But guess what? Some of you today are in a fearful condition. You're in a place where God can't move like he wants to move in your life, and you're in trouble because of fear. Fear is governing your life. What do you do when fear is gripping your life? You do what Peter did. He cried out. He prayed. He said, Lord, save me. He prayed a quick prayer. You got to have a relationship with God where you can pray a quick prayer. He didn't have time for a long prayer. Hit your neighbor, wake him up real quick. I wish people would go to sleep before they come to church. Go ahead, hit him real quick before I have to come down there and wake some people up. Please wake him up. Yeah, please wake up, baby. Please. Yes, Lord, please wake up. Please wake up. He didn't have time to say, Lord, here I come with my head bowed down between the locks of my shoulder, coming to you as humble as I know how. I'm calling on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm coming to you in the midst of these treacherous, tremendous winds and waves, calling upon thee because I have no other person to call on. Isn't it good to serve a God that when you cry out to him, you don't have to give him the details of what you're crying out to him for? He said, Lord, save me. I like that. I feel a shout coming on me right now when I think about the fact that we can call on him and he will hear our faintest cry. And he will answer by and by. Your marriage is in trouble, Lord, save me. Your finances are shaky, Lord, save me. Your children giving you hell, Lord, save me. You don't have to pray a long. See, some of y'all think that God is impressed by how long you pray. The length of your prayer is not what moves God. It's the faith that's in your prayer that moves God. You can pray all day long, but if you don't have no faith in it, it's not going to move God. But if you pray by faith, that God that we serve will come and rescue you. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he called out to God. I want to read this to you right here. I love this verse right here. It says he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. I feel a shout that Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him, caught him. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but what I need you to know that when you cry out to God, you are not too far from him, that he does not have the power to stretch out his hand and find you and catch you and deliver you. He can save you. Somebody high five your neighbor and say, he can stretch out his hand. He can reach you in the club. He can reach you drunk. He can reach you high. He can reach you living immorally. He can reach you in your adultery and your homosexuality. He can reach you in your lying spirit. He can reach you when you've been fired from your job. He can reach you when they're talking about you like a dog. He can stretch out his hand and rescue you no matter where you are. Yes, they got a ticket on your life. Yes, they got a contract on your life. But the Jesus we serve has the power to stretch out and save you. Oh, I wish I had a praying crowd with me here today. I wish I had somebody who could testify and witness with me that they believe God can rescue you. Y'all tell two or three people God can rescue you. Tell them for me. They're not hearing me. They've been distracted. Tell them God will catch you. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how ugly the situation has been. He will catch you. That's what I'm praying. God, catch them right now in Jesus' name. Deliver them right now in Jesus' name. Free them up right now in Jesus' name. Anybody here been caught by Jesus before? Go ahead and give him a praise. Say, God, thank you for catching me. Thank you for stretching your hand. Some of you have been in a place that you thought he had forgotten about you. And you thought he couldn't surely do anything. But I tell you today, he will. And I'm prophesying somebody gonna get saved right now who thinks that they cannot be rescued. Somebody, God is about to reach his hand into the ugliness of where you are, and he's going to deliver you. Where are you? Get up out your seat and come here right now. He's gonna save you, forgive you, wash your slate clean, make you a brand new creation. You're not beyond the realm of God's hand to bring deliverance and to save you. Make your way down here right now. Hallelujah.